Welcome to Apple a Day. It's Lake Region Healthcare's podcast with all things health related to help you live well in the Lakes Region. My guests today are Dr. Katie Bressler, family medicine with obstetrics, and Heather Forsman, certified nurse midwife. They've been regulars on the show this summer, and we are now continuing this series on empowerment in birth. Today, we're taking up where we left off last time on the team approach to obstetric care here at Lake Region Healthcare and talking about the many options available for delivery. There are many modes of delivery, and of course, every individual is unique and for various reasons, whether by choice or by necessity, might end up choosing one of these over the other. Starting overarching vaginal birth, the kind of what most maybe would hope for will be the mode of delivery. Let's talk about what does that look like here at Lake Region, and what do you want moms who are hoping for a vaginal birth to know?
Heather, you want to start?
Yeah. This is a passion for both of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, like she said, we really want every woman to have a vaginal birth. That's what we want for them. But I truly believe, too, we need to remember that this is really about the woman in general. And so we want the woman to have the birth she wants. And so I like to tease people all the time that you can literally bounce on a ball, sniff lavender, bring a picture of your dog, bring your blankie, whatever it is you really want for your birth, that's what we want it to be. But what we want is to be able to be a team behind you to help you with all your medical needs. And so coming into it with that perspective that we're going to support the birth you want, but take care of you medically as we need to. So a vaginal birth is what everybody strives for, and that's what you'll hear everybody talk about, that I want to have a vaginal birth. But when it really comes down to that, as long as we support the birth you want and the birth you need and the birth that is the healthiest for you and baby, that's what's the most important in our minds. So we, of course, strive here to have a lower C-section rate. I tell everybody that the only C-section I ever will regret is the one I don't do. So you might very well end in a C-section, but our goal is to have a vaginal birth. I do feel like we've worked really hard at decreasing the C-section rate here at Lake Region, and I think it's because of the fact we are supporting more of a vaginal birth, more patient-centered care, and we also are patient ourselves. Sometimes patience is key, and that's where that whole team-based approach comes from, because we spend a lot more time with patients being patient. When you come in for a vaginal delivery, it could look multiple different ways. You could come in natural labor. You could be an induction for medical reasons, an induction for elective reasons. There's a lot of different ways to get that outcome of a vaginal birth. But I would say statistically, what we're really trying to work on is just giving women the birth that they need to be empowered in and that they want to start with.
And that's the key word, empowerment in birth. What we don't want is patients feeling like they've had things done to them. They should be a key piece of the decision making, and we as providers make it our goal that we're effectively communicating with patients so that they know why our recommendations mm-hmm. stand as they are, and so they don't feel powerless. And yeah, just to echo Heather, I 100% agree with all that she's saying. You know, patience pays off in labor and delivery, and that's where really teamwork really comes in too. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, if we have a long labor, we tap out to our partners, and yep. that is what's best for our patients, right? Mm-hmm. It's just been such a beautiful piece of our teamwork and Heather and I working together. It's fun to get patients the deliveries that they want mm-hmm. by working as a team, and with, you know, change of shift with our nurses too, and yep. mm-hmm. everybody with that common goal.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to vaginal birth, the medication side of birthing comes into the discussion quite often. Unmedicated versus medicated. What's the discussion you have with moms prior to set the right expectation there?
So I would say I have more unmedicated births than medicated. People say it's because I'm a midwife. I would say that's not why I have more unmedicated versus medicated. I would say, one, I tell them to go into it with grace. You have no idea what your birth is going to feel like or look like until you're there. And every birth is different. You can have one baby or nine babies, and every baby can enter this world in a different way. And so when you go into it, you got to really just go into it with grace. Yes, it's nice to have a birth plan. You might write that birth plan out. You might even color code it and put it in a binder. But the bigger part you need to go into is that birth can change. Mm-hmm. And so if you go into it that aspect, you'll know then that okay, I might not have planned on having an epidural, which is common for pain control, which is where you get basically it's placed in your spine, it goes in your epidural space, and then you have pain control from basically under the breast down. So the goal is that you won't feel the pain of contractions, but you'll feel pressure, you'll still be able to push. Sometimes you still have really good use of your legs is our goal, all those things. But sometimes you'll choose to have no medication. It is a tricky thing to learn what you're going to want and what you're going to do until you're in that position. Mm-hmm. And you can change your mind too. You could come in and be like, I'm going to have an unmedicated birth where I just literally dance around the room and, like I said, sniff some lavender. But then you could also get in here, be 2 centimeters, decide you're going to lose your biscuits, not like it, and you want an epidural. And that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to what Dr. Breslin and I have talked a lot about is we want this birth to be what you want it to be. We mm-hmm. want you to look back and feel empowered and feel like it was the moment that you wanted in that birth. So it's not really about what we want or what we think is even necessarily best for you. We might guide you in those decisions, but at the same point, it's not really our decision, it's yours.
Yep. You can have an epidural at 3 centimeters. You can have one at 10 as long as you're not pushing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can go without. Love the dancing in the room. Helps shimmy that baby into the pelvis. Yep. Movement is also a friend, both in pain control as well as getting that baby down and in a good position. We aside from epidurals, one of our biggest tools is the tub. Helping with that transition often from kind of more early labor to active labor especially can be very helpful in just helping relax the pelvic floor and with pain control because it kind of takes gravity away from the situation. We have other options, nitrous oxide, kind of like the laughing gas that we're familiar with from the dentist's office, can be a very good sort of sense of pain control while not having, you know, another leash, so to speak, to the bed with the epidural and allowing a little bit more movement. We have IV medicines for early labor. And then we have the labor team. You know, we just really like to emphasize that preparation with the patient and the labor team ahead of time can really help with that support for pain management during labor.
And then movement. You will not be in the bed here. I think that's the other key you need to remember. I think that's a big thing that we have changed here over the course of the last year is patients are really getting moved. Some of our nurses went to a spinning babies course, which is basically positions on how to get a better labor outcome and more likely to get a vaginal delivery from.
And they work.
All the positions work really well. And so it is a very uncommon for you to lay in one position in a bed for a long period of time. You will be up, you will be moving. It's not uncommon for us to be doing different types of yoga or exercises or different things while you're in labor to try to help that labor progress a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. That help of the team, coaching of the team, good preparation, and I love that grace, that open mind approaching. Can have a plan, but be ready for...
We're going to try different things during every labor.
One of the other options that's available here now too is water birthing. Let's talk a little bit more about what is that and when is it something a mom might want to consider?
So water birthing is just, again, another tool in your tool bag. And so it's one of those things that allows you to change gravity and change your birthing experience by hopefully utilizing that as your pain control. A lot of people think, though, with water birthing, they picture this, I'm going to get in the water, I'm going to be in there for 24 hours, and I'm going to hang out there until my baby comes out. It's not really meant to be that tool. It's meant to be a tool where you use it as your pain control. So when you're in that point of labor, you get in there to help with pain, and the goal is to birth in the water and decrease that pain while birthing in the water. And it decreases a lot of other things, such as perineal lacerations, less likely to have shoulder dystocia, those kind of things. But water birthing is just another tool. It's just another option. It is statistically, you could talk about a lot of them. You tend to not want an epidural, you tend to not use pain medicine, it tends to shorten your transition phase, and it tends to shorten your pushing phase, but it is something that's more natural. So you really have to go into that with grace also and know that you won't be on a ton of monitors, you won't be strapped to a bed, they won't be taking tons of vitals on you, And every person, again, approaches that different. So I think you really need to do your own education, along with, I do a lot of education and visits before you come, before you decide on water birthing. But at the same point, it just allows you to have another choice. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing I've heard, though, recently is that they think if they choose water birthing, once in there, they can't get out. That's not it either. It's an option. So if you get in the water, it's not like you're signing a contract. You don't have to stay in there. We're not going to hold you down until you birth in that water. If you get in there and it's not for you, you get out. Just like everything else here, it's a choice. Mm-hmm. And so you won't know until you get in there whether it's for you. Mm-hmm. I do think that when people do get in the water, though, their pain is just different. Mm-hmm. It relaxes you different. It takes, I think gravity plays a big role, but it takes a lot of that back pain away, a lot of that pressure away. It's just a different sensation when you're in the water. So with water birthing, it allows you to stay in there until your baby is born, which we cannot do in our jacuzzi tubs. We can only do in our water birthing pool. Mm-hmm.
It's a great option for the right patients, right? So mm-hmm. Heather does a really good job of risk stratifying, and we have good protocols for that. So it's not an option for everybody, mm-hmm. but it is a good option for a lot of our patients.
And nice to know that you have those options. I guess we didn't talk too much about when cesarean birth ends up yeah. being the outcome. Mm-hmm. What sometimes that's a disappointment, mm-hmm. right? What are the things that you kind of do to help moms prepare either when they know that's going to happen or when it's an unexpected outcome?
Yeah. I talk about early in visits too, because C-section is a risk. Of course, all moms, especially first babies, they go into that they do not want to have a C-section. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way everybody thinks, but they need to remember that labor and delivery is risky, and sometimes you do have to have a cesarean for safety of you and safety of baby. So talking about it early on and being educated about that early on, I think makes that decision easier. And I also think because we are such a good team-based care, that we are talking all the time, we are communicating all the time with our patients, that when we do make those decisions, I feel like they feel like it's the right decision and they entrust in what we're making. Because they know, again, that it's not because we want to go golfing or because we're going on vacation. It's because...
it's not 6 p.m. and we want to go home to dinner.
Yes.
We're going to do them when indicated for a patient.
Yes. And so I think that that's the approach that has to be done. And I said this earlier, C-sections are needed and there's still a medical necessity. And I firmly believe the ones that we do here are medically necessary. They're not just done for a reason outside of that.
We're really working on what we call our primary C-section rate. So that means first time C-section. I'm really proud of our rates here. We're doing a really good job in getting, you know, keeping moms and babies safe, first and foremost, but also limiting unnecessary interventions. I think a lot of times patients see the writing on the wall because we've been communicating with them all mm-hmm. along, you know.
Yep.
Your baby's been stressed out, you know, we've been talking about it, we've been doing maneuvers, and so when it comes time to make that recommendation and pull the plug, so to speak, patients often aren't surprised.
Mm-hmm. And I do tell people, because I offer a different level of care, I'm a midwife, and so the C-sections I do tend to end more emergently or more unplanned because I don't do a lot of planned C-sections. So I think that's the other part. Like she said, we can do a C-section very quickly, and we hate that that's how that happens sometimes, but we're always talking about that before that occurs. So that way they know if this emergency were to happen, things do move very quickly, but it's because of safety that we move those things quickly.
And that's where that team-based care is so essential. You know, sometimes we're calling our whole team in, even if we end up getting a vag birth, just so we have a little bit of a safety net so that everybody who would be needed for a C-section is in-house in case we need them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And great to have that team to call on, and really just re-emphasizes that importance of the prenatal care and the conversations
yes.
and
the relationship mm-hmm. that you build during that prenatal care.
One thing we didn't touch on, which is also kind of a rare outcome, but we do see it not on an irregular basis either, would be operative vaginal delivery. So that would be like a vacuum extraction. Mm-hmm. So putting a little suction cup on baby's head and giving a little tug. We tend to only do that in cases of fetal distress at the time of pushing and if that head is right down there. Or maternal exhaustion is another indication, though I would say oftentimes with coaching, I haven't done that in ages since training. So I think with an empowering team, we can often avoid that. Mm-hmm. And because our patients are just awesome. We have such strong patients.
Right, we do.
And then some providers will do forceps as well.
Okay. And we don't set a limitation for pushing either. That could be a common statement that I've heard, that, you know, you can only push for so many hours. Pushing at the end is really different for everybody. And sometimes I will push for a little bit and I won't have good, what we call descent, or that baby coming down. And I'll decide to change a position, do a different laboring down before we start pushing again. But you don't have a time frame in that. And I think that's part of that patience part. I think before, maybe, I hate to say like older times, but we did. We were like, you get your first baby, you can push for 3 hours, multiple babies, 2 hours. But that's not really the truth. Sometimes we do push longer than that, but I think it's just about, is mom safe? Is baby safe? Does everything look safe?
Then you can progress.
Yes, are things progressing? You know, if you've been pushing for 3 hours, but you're almost done, we're not going to section you for that or use an operative delivery for that. We're just going to empower you and change the process. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is also a change that has come down the pike, is that you can push for quite a while. And sometimes even second, third baby, you can push for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. And in different positions, we're not going to limit, you know, as long as it's safe and as long as you have enough mobility, you can push in whatever position you want. Mm-hmm. I think for both Heather and I, one of our favorite positions is side lying. Mm-hmm. Just that empowerment. We're not going to make rules on our patients.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're not going to be on your back in stirrups pushing very often with us. Now, if you get a really dense epidural and, you know, you also don't want to hurt your nurses or hurt your staff, and so sometimes we do have to utilize those stirrups, either put the legs down on them or to take breaks from it. But it's also very common, too, when we're pushing, that you might push one direction for a while and then we're going to change and go to a different direction for a while. If you're unmedicated, you might be in lots of different positions pushing, and that's okay, too. There is one position I won't push in, and that is standing. I'm getting too old to lay under people and get off the ground quickly, so then I have to kind of lay there and wait to catch your baby, and it's just very awkward. So I won't do standing anymore. That's the one position I won't do. But otherwise, I'm pretty lenient on the rest of them.
Pretty flexible.
Yeah.
Empowered birth is a beautiful thing. It's clear. And you both have such a passion for that empowerment in birth. Thanks for all that you do to make sure moms and their partners are well supported and that the best possible outcomes happen here in our Women's and Children's Center. Anything else that you want to make sure that our listeners hear about the team, the approach, or the options for modes of delivery?
It's just such an honor to serve our patients in this community, to be a part of this team, to be graced with this truly an opportunity to serve in this way. Women are in their sometimes most vulnerable and most empowered state in pregnancy and childbirth, and what a blessing to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would second that, what Dr. Berzler said. And then I'd also second that, you know, if you're thinking about it and you don't know how you feel about a team-based approach, or you don't know how you feel about a family med OB or a midwife, to just come meet us. It's okay to come and meet a provider. You know, again, you're not going to be signing a contract, so we won't sit on you and make you stay here, but come meet us and come see how we function, what we do. I think you'll see us, and I think when you see us, you'll be also empowered to have your care here at Lake Region.
Great advice. Dr. Katie Bressler, Family Medicine with Obstetrics, and Heather Forsman, midwife here at Lake Region Healthcare, empowering women in childbirth. Thanks for your time this morning, and again, thanks for all you do for our community.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Bressler, Heather, and me, Katie Johnson, on Apple a Day this morning, reminding you that at Lake Region Healthcare, we are here for you always. Have a great day.